Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from pretty Paradise Valley, Arizona.
Today, Jill and I talk about the employees we can live without.
Oh, I got
this
one.
This is our rant.
Oh.
It's hiring week all week today, this week.
This is going to be good. I'll tell you one employee I could do without, the kind that wants to replace me.
What? Who would ever replace you?
Oh, wait. I'll fill you in.
Let's take a question before Jill's rant. And it was posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free. And if you're already a member, please join us on Discord.
Martin wrote, a potential buyer reached out to me following my first mailer, interested in selling their 0.5-acre vacant lot for $14,682. They informed me that they were selling not only the lot from my mailer offer, but the neighboring 0.5-acre lot. This is cool. I was informed that the additional lot has their deceased mother's 100-year-old home on it, and they were quoted it was quoted as being uninhabitable. Oh, this is my first mailer, and I'm diving into some unknown territory with potentially buying a lot with a home on it, and I'd like to get some perspective from the group. The sellers inform me that both lots are off of primary roads and a 3-minute walk to a lake, and both lots are in the seller's name. This is all good information.
This is really good.
Yeah. So here are the
questions. This is a beautiful story.
Number one, pending I can get the home for a low price, is it worth it? I don't want to do a home flip as one of my first buys, and would plan to list as is. Two, can I take the home straight title myself? Or do I need to hire a realtor once I get the purchase agreement back? Thank you in advance for your help, Martin. This is great. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Yeah, in 99% of all cases with vacant land, if there's something on it, it's more valuable, not less value. I don't care how, if it's a blown out mobile home, it's better. The 1% where you don't want it to be the case is where there's something that would fall under EPA guidelines as toxic, and it would require a cleanup. So if there's an old house that's fallen down on a piece of property that's a few blocks from a lake, that's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's a fantastic, with a vacant lot next to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
now you have an acre.
Yeah.
By the way, now you have a full acre. One of them has a house on it. So whoever buys it can, you know, keep one, sell the other, keep them both, whatever.
Can you imagine a situation where a vacant piece of property would be more value than one with an old house on it?
Nope.
Neither can I.
Nope.
All the utilities are hooked up. There's probably a slab there.
That's great.
All kinds of positive things that go with that. And people know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this world is, people who go on Craigslist or anywhere are DIY type people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would love to get a really inexpensive old house and spend 5 years fixing it up.
Someone's going to want that. The 100-year-old mm-hmm. home that's been there, you know, and the loving story that goes with it, that, you know, mom yep. lived there for how many years? Maybe dad built it. Maybe grandpa built it. You know, that would be so cool, and someone will love that. Another thing is, too, by the way, you can do this whole transaction yourself. Just because there's a house on it does not mean you need an agent.
It's exactly the same type of transaction
mm-hmm.
as a piece of vacant land. Mm-hmm. Buying a house and buying a piece of dirt
mm-hmm.
is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't have a lender, they're mm-hmm. exactly the same type of deal.
Exactly. Yep. You can do it all yourself. I'm excited to hear how it goes. I hope you pick up both and get a good price. And you know what? Here's the thing, too. Because the seller, you know, thinks the house is, well, they know the house is uninhabitable, they already don't see it as being worth very much.
Yes.
So I bet you can get them both for
yes.
a sweet deal.
Exactly, Jill.
And what I want you to do, by the way, Martin, I want you to ask them, look, all right, you know, have the conversation with the seller. What'll be a version of this? Yeah, I'll take it off your hands. You know, it's uninhabitable. I'll figure it out. And what's your bottom number?
You're solving a problem for them.
Yeah. What would you want for both of them? And I'll just, you know, see if I can make that work.
Yep.
He'll probably come out with, make it 14,000 times 2, 30,000, you got a deal. And I'd be like,
to which
done.
You would say, you know, the house is, I got to do a bunch of stuff with this house before I can sell it. Maybe 20 to 25. I can work with that.
Or see what his number is.
But I want to drive this point home. And Jill and I have been doing this show for a lot of years now. Mm-hmm. And I need to make this point. I can't say it strongly enough. You do not need a real estate agent to sell a house. That's something that we've been brainwashed and poisoned. Jeez. I swear it's in the water.
It's like
it gets worse with time, not better.
It's like saying, Martin, perception. You can't sell a car off Craigslist. You have to be a dealer. No, you don't. We all know that one. But for some reason, National Real Estate Association has trained us that, nope, you've got to have be a license for have a house. Nope. Not true.
If you want to get it on the MLS, you don't need a real estate agent. There's mm-hmm. just go type in fixed price listing near me in Google, and there will be places that for $100, $200, you can get it in the MLS. Just like a realtor.
You can go on Zillow right now, too, by the way, Martin. And when you go to like the other listings, you'll probably see, put in houses. Go to Zillow, put in your zip code, and look at houses, and click to the other listings, and watch like 5 or 10 for sale by owners pop right up there, that it's someone that's just selling their house on their own. The whole point is, title will take care of the paperwork and everything that you need. You don't need that agent in the middle of it, you know, taking a piece of it, because they don't do any of the work, by the way. When you throw an agent in there in a transaction like this, title's still dictating all the forms and everything that's gonna get, that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. If any, and you don't need an agent in there throwing in 25 more forms and taking out, you know, 3 or 6%.
Residential real estate agents are in the business of getting in the middle of your transaction and making money, true. Getting in the way of your real estate deal. You've done every single thing right here.
Yep.
You've taken control of these two real estate deals. You located them. You're mm-hmm. talking to the seller, you got there first. Mm-hmm. You're doing every single thing right. Why would you call a real estate agent and pay him 6% just mm-hmm. to get in the way?
Exactly.
You don't have to. There's no laws that say you need to use a real estate agent. It's a huge misconception out there.
Totally.
Great work. Yay. This is an excellent question, and I'm happy for your success. This is why we have Land Academy. Today's topic, the employees we can live without. This is why you're listening.
Hey, by the way, there's your new pool cleaner.
We're getting deliveries with this new office. We can see what's going on in front of us. Like anyone cares.
It's kind of funny. I'm excited.
You want to go first?
I gotta do a little personal timeout. Because in case you're wondering, like we talked about it last Friday about this house and the renovations and things that we're doing. This is tough when it's your primary residence. When you're doing in our business and you're doing a flip, I don't really care. I'm appealing to the masses. All I'm doing is picking the products and the things that the masses are going to love and that. But when it's your primary residence, you're like, what do I love? And I haven't done it in so long, I kind of forgot. I'm like, oh. And so, there's so many things about this house. You can see the ballroom behind us that, like, I want to keep the integrity of the house because it's pretty flipping cool. I want to remember why we fell in love with the house. I'm not going to make it some cookie cutter or whatever. That's not the point here, and it's not this kind of a house. So anyway, there's little things that are happening. It's going to take some time, but it's going to be good. And it's funny because the things you get excited about, like I am now excited about a clean pool with my new pool filter, my new pool cleaner. You know, it's just, it's funny. Just like I'm excited about the new washer and dryer that we got.
It's our latest adventure. That's what this is.
Totally. All right, so back to the show. Employees, did you do the opening? Employees we can live without? Okay. Mm-hmm. Employees, oh my gosh. So what I alluded to in the beginning was we have had one or two employees that have said, I bet I could do this better than Jill. You know, and like they wanna be his partner. They wanna see me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I remember that.
Yeah. They wanna see me out of the picture. Like almost even like psycho out of the picture. Seriously. Like
boiling rabbits.
Like if they bring me coffee, I'm not sure I would drink it out of the pitcher. Seriously. So that's one type of employee that I could absolutely live without. And if you have any inkling, maybe it's just a woman thing. You know, maybe it could be a guy thing.
No, it's a woman thing.
Okay. Then that women do this, guys wouldn't do this?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, if you ever hire
That feeling, I would say you leave today.
That's the thing. That's my point.
I think with the women, it lingers on.
Yeah, you need to. Well, you know why? Truth time. I don't think I could convince you. I think there was a part, and I'm not saying anything wrong. I want to say that you were like, are you sure it's not just you? Are you picking up on something? Like, no, I'm pretty sure my gut's right. Pretty sure this is what's going on. Then finally you caught along and said, oh, I see it now. I think she's asking me out to dinner. I'm like, right? Yeah. You know, kind of thing. She's almost sitting on my lap in the office. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I didn't know
this topic was going here.
Well, it's employees I can live without, and that's one of them. You don't want that. And so my whole big picture with all of this here is fire faster.
That's true. That could be a show this week, fire faster.
We should have, you know what, and you need to trust each other. You know, we have a lot of husband and wife teams, and this comes up. I don't know if it's because of us or just the nature of this business.
It's because of us.
Okay.
I'm sure of it.
We have a lot of people that are like, you know, we want to be like you guys, you know, and everybody can quit their jobs and, you know,
which
we
is
could
good.
Take turns taking care of the kids and,
yeah.
man, we could
we
travel
did that for years.
And tag team our work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all of that's correct. But there's different things that go along with it. When it comes to employees, because it's a whole different dynamic when you know, it's really you're a strong couple, and whoever you hire has really there's two owners and two bosses, even if they don't directly report to them. It's a really interesting dynamic. So you've got to be really alert to some things. And for women, it's easy. We just trust our gut. And then the second thing is for men, please let us trust our gut, and please don't try to talk us out.
This
of
is
anything.
A Jack roast today.
Oh no!
It's no, I can handle it. It's okay.
But no, it comes up because I had just the other day on one of our Atlanta Academy ladies calls. At the end of the call, someone asked a really good question, like, "Hey, can you give me some tips real quick of working with your spouse?" And I'm like, "Whoa,
not real quick, yeah,
exactly.
But I can give you tips."
Exactly. I'm like, totally, you know. And I rattled off my top five. Things like, let me save you right now. It can totally work and be awesome, but here's some things that we learned and you've got to do them right away. So give me some employees you can live without.
There's two components to this. There's skill set, which you can test for pretty quickly. And I know what I look for in a skill set. And then there's the secondary point is personality and whether or not it's going to work within the group that you've already created, or just if it's just you and your first hire, whether or not you guys can stand each other. You know, the first
give me some dirt. Come first on, everybody wants the dirt here.
The first employee that I had, you know, this is years and years and years ago. I like fired her with a vengeance. When by the time it got to
was
that
was it
point.
The toner?
Yeah, it was the toner. She was. I look back later and I had, after it was all over, I talked to other employees and they all said what you're talking about.
Yeah,
they're
like,
they
thank
just,
God.
I was totally single and they, you know, they just wanted a piece of me.
Yeah. Who would
and
not
so,
want a piece of this?
Oh, please. And the way it manifested itself was just ridiculous. Like she just wanted to talk to me all day. She wanted so
fun. Sit on your desk.
And just like, and she would create problems to get my attention.
Yeah.
So this is an extreme. You know, this is not something that the vast majority of you guys are, our listening audience is going to have to deal with. But
right. That
was an extreme situation. More recently, I had a person that was responsible for, I don't care if she's listening or not, responsible for for IT. Mm. And that was ended up being an absolute disaster.
Well, she knew she was smarter than me.
And so, do you think it had to do with you?
Oh,
is this
I'm
becoming a relationship thing now?
Oh, she, I think, had a thing in her upper something that she was smarter than me. And I was like, not going to work.
And so, it was the same situation. She just would, her personality type, she's very capable, unlike the first one. The most recent one was incredibly capable from a technical standpoint. Her personality was just an outrage.
Yeah.
It was the way that she's just loud and everything was wrong constantly. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't make decisions on her own. And when she did, it wasn't, you know, but from a tech standpoint, so you have to test for both of those things. I'm going to say it all week this week. You can test out personality types and you can test out
skill set,
technical stuff.
Exactly. I have one, I got to say, here's employees we can live without. I had one. Just recently, well, you know, it's funny because I just talked to somebody who's dealing with the same thing. It's like they hire this employee, there kind of more in an assistant role. It was a personal assistant for me, and I'm dumping stuff on her. And the more I dumped, the more overwhelmed she got. I'm like, uh-oh. And then I found myself backing off like, oh, I can't give her that because she can't handle that. And I can't give her this because she can't handle that. She's not smart enough to do this one. And then I realized, wait a minute, now I'm kind of doing her job.
She's just tragic.
I'm like,
she's a tragic
person.
That's not
going to work.
She showed up one day all gothed out, you know, with a bunch of eyeliner. And like, I don't know what she was trying to prove.
That was
really recent, you know, too. Like, you know, I don't care where you are in your career. You're going to get some duds.
It's hard. Well, you know, I feel bad because I have to say most of the employees that we've had and let go were not malicious. They just got in over their heads, you know.
I agree with that. And
that's kind of on them. They should have been more honest up front, like what they can handle. Because I'm going to tell you, here's what's coming at you. You need to be ready for it. And you need to honestly say to me, so when you're hiring, you know, have these conversations, like some days are going to be nutty. You have to be able to change gears. Things are going to happen. It's not going to flow great. Escrows fall apart. You're going to have to jump in and tell title agents where to stick it and then go mm-hmm. find another title agent because stuff happens, you know, and if you can't handle it, I need to know now. That's the thing. And so
in all cases where I've had to let somebody go, that's my job in this company. All these companies, by the way, these people won't do it unless they're so mad and they just do it on the spot, which in certain states you can't do anymore. That's really recently changed. But in all cases where I've had to let somebody go, I look back at the interview process and the resume, and they extremely lied.
There is that.
Grossly misrepresented what they were capable of. And then they come in and we ask them to do what they said that they could do. And then they lie more and draw it out.
And in some cases, under the carpet.
In some cases, in the case of Jill and I hired my former partner. I had a partner.
That's a good one.
In the real estate companies all through the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
And during the downturn, he couldn't handle it and he moved back to his home state. And then, so the companies got big again, Jill, because of Jill. And I said, neither one of us were interested in doing day-to-day operations. So
you brought in your old office guy.
I went and found him and we met. And
he asked for an insane amount of money.
Against Jill's advice, against Jill's extremely loud advice, it turns out she was right. I hired him and it was a disaster. And here's why. He believed that he was knew our customers, both on the education side and on the real estate side, better than we did.
Yeah.
And so he was going behind our backs and creating forms and doing stuff from a tech standpoint and all kinds of, there's a lot of tech piece to that was his forte. That he's just, if he just believed that he was bright. And he had no idea, it's so foreign to me that someone would, you know, you don't do things because, you know, when you work for people, I'm from Michigan, so, you know, I grew up with a different, it doesn't matter, I mean, but I grew up with a different sense of respect and hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's your boss, it's your boss. And mm-hmm. if your boss is stupid and treating you poorly, pull him aside. If it doesn't work, leave.
Yeah.
Go do something about it. So,
but
otherwise, you know, you're there to do what you're supposed to do. And this is my, if you're an employee anywhere, all you got to do is what you're supposed to do. People get in a lot of trouble as employees trying to do extra stuff.
Uh-huh.
Don't go do anything extra. Just do what you're supposed to do. And then if you want a raise, ask for it. If you want to work on a new project, ask for it. Mm-hmm. Don't go off and do it.
You know, it's so funny. I haven't had this in a long time, but...
That was tragic. I screamed at him and forced him to leave.
Yeah, it was bad. Back in the day, like, I remember working side-by-side people. This is when I was in my 20s. And other people in their 20s, you brought this up, so I thought this is a good point, how we were raised. Because I was raised with a Midwest, Michigan work ethic also. And I was taught that it's your boss... And whatever your boss asks you to do, you know, it's within reason, you do it. If they say, go get my car washed, you go get their car washed.
Yep.
There's no such
Can't
thing
do
as,
that now, but
there's no
yeah.
such thing as it's not my job, you know, kind
right.
of thing. But, and I remember working with people, they go, oh no, I don't do that. That's not my job. I'm like, your boss kind of asked you to do that. I kind of, and no, and I, hey, that's okay. You could have employees that are personal employees that their job is to maintain a household.
Jill has a person like that right now.
Get washed and
she does
like
great.
That.
Hmm? She was hired for that, and yeah. I had a heart-to-heart conversation with her.
And said, you did. This is how Jill rolls.
I'm telling you, this is what you can expect. I mean, no one's going to expect you to scrub floors personally, but you need to hire somebody to do that if that's what we need. And so she's working out great.
She is.
She's fantastic.
So happy. Not the first time in this position, but now we got the right one.
I will tell you a story. I know this is going long.
This is
one of the best employees I've ever had was a transaction coordinator a lot of years ago. She's a former escrow agent. And I asked her to take an Excel test because the person before her lied their ass off and represented that they could do all this stuff and they couldn't. In 2 weeks, I had to let them go. So this person comes in, and I really liked her. I really liked her voice. She's kind of, she's got had the basic stuff that Jill had. And so I asked her to take an Excel test, and she said, she got up and started to walk out the door and said, I've never been in Excel in my life. And, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work out. And so I said, you know what? I really like your personality and your whole thing. So please stop.
I didn't know that part.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so she learned Excel. She learned Excel in like 2 days. And then she showed up for work and she ended up doing, I don't know, thousands and thousands of deals with us. So you can't just, you have to take this. It's a gut. There's a lot of this is gut. Mm-hmm. Which is, I'm not that good. I'm a data person. I need to see empirical evidence.
No, it's a girl thing, not a guy thing.
So.
Yeah. I understand.
Employees are, I'm going to quote Steve Jobs. I've said this probably 50 times on the show. Steve Jobs said at the end, if you do everything right in your career, at some point, you will just become a recruiter. And that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very, very lucky, Jill and I, that we have people now below us, especially the person who's running all of the whole thing. She's very capable at hiring, and she's kind of a...
Better than us.
She's kind of a a bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't put up with anything. She puts up with I think there's... My nephew's in town doing an internship, and he was talking about my sister, his mother, about this inept assistant she's had for years and years, and she doesn't have the heart to fire him. Or her, I mean.
Because it's her friend. You can't do that.
Please don't be that
person.
Don't
hire your friend. Let me save you.
It's a day. It's a sad whole day when you have to let somebody go for me. It wrecks my day. I usually save it for when I don't have anything else on the calendar. You do it right in the morning.
Are you sure?
Terrible, terrible. Unless you wait too long and then you're just angry.
Exactly. Come on. We've had a few there. Let's end it on this. Truth time. Come on, the last couple ones that we fired, we always like, oh, thank God that's over.
Have you ever let somebody go?
Like, oh, I can breathe again.
Where they were surprised?
Nope.
Neither have I.
No.
Every single time I say, this isn't working out.
They're like,
it's not working out.
Exactly. Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called Who Should I Hire First? In 2021, it's hiring week, all week this week. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This is what we should be talking about.
Employees and hiring.
Here's why,
and
because,
mistakes.
On Monday and Tuesday,
yeah.
Today, mm-hmm. There's the vast majority of people who are listening or watching this are sitting there saying, that's great, Jack. Congratulations, you guys have 16 people under you, and that's great. But I'm a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing 10 deals a month. I really need to hire that first employee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the show tomorrow is about.
We'll talk about that. If you are interested in learning more about us and what we do, please check out landacademy.com and houseacademy.com. We provide the education tools and support you need to be flipping property like the pros.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.